Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Aramarte Fio on blogtalkradio.com. The views expressed here are not necessarily those of all hosts, guests, or producers, and the show is for a mature audience. The views expressed here are not necessarily those of all hosts, guests, or producers, and the show is for a mature. We're having a Mercury retrograde night because Mercury's retrograde. So the views expressed here are not necessarily those of all hosts, guests, or producers, and the Well, you know now, everybody got that in it. I'm Rosanna Martinio, and this is Talking Stick on Gather Round. We're going to do religion, farming, politics. We're hitting it all tonight. So we're going to start out with Patrick LeBeau. I'm sorry. Patrick, how do you pronounce your last name?
Labby.
Okay. It's good to have you here. You're coming in from South Carolina, where I'm not sure what the weather's like, but
70 degrees today.
Oh, I shouldn't have even mentioned, because it's in the 30s and big flakes. They're not sticking, but I'm getting big flakes here in Illinois. So, okay, it's twice as warm there as here. Well, good.
Well,
for you.
we have the tea bag of flakes down here, even when it's warm.
Well, and then you have the kind of flakes we have in Illinois, too, the politicians. So
that's true.
Speaking of flakes. But tonight, I mean, there's so much that Patrick has to say. We're going to try to get him on again for a longer period of time. But right now we're talking about Reformed Jewish congregations, because there's so much talk. I have a friend in Jerusalem who's he's religious Jew. And then there's the Orthodox, and there's just, I guess, regular. And you have a website. It's called SomervilleJewishCommunity.com. And it's in South Carolina. You have some pictures that, I mean, it's amazing, because you have totally across the cultural borders in your congregation.
Well, you know, that's correct. And most people think of Jews as white or Caucasian looking. Well, what people don't realize is there's Jews in India, there's Jews in China, there's Jews in Africa, the Ethiopian Jews. Everyone thinks heard about the Ethiopian Jews. And here in the United States, Jewish congregations are very diverse, especially among the Reformed Jewish congregations. They tend to be the most diverse. And in this area, Somerville, which this is an independent group that's not associated with the synagogue in particular, but most of the members of the group are Reformed. We have Chinese, we have Filipino, we have Latin American, we have African American.
Yeah, I mean, it just looks like you went to all the continents and grabbed a person or two and brought them
back. That's right. That's right.
And I mean, I'm sure, because people are people, and sometimes we have disagreements, but everybody looked pretty happy. So I'm assuming that you get along pretty well.
Pretty well. Of course, you know, and people who are Jewish will understand this comment. You know, two Jews in a room, four opinions.
Okay. Yeah. Well, and
if it's two, if it's two liberal Jews, it's six opinions.
Okay. Well, and I would generalize it again, but I think there's more liberal. The Jewish people I've known have been pretty liberal. So that's what I can say.
I think what you see politically is that Jewish people tend to overwhelmingly vote, unfortunately, Democrat, which I wish they were voting socialist.
Yeah, me
but
too. Yeah.
Tend to be on the liberal side, and I mean it's like 70-30%, maybe 80-20%, And even even a lot of Orthodox Jews are actually liberal in their political opinion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because Judaism, at its core, and obviously we can get into some things if you want about some of the right-wing things that some people do in the name of religion, but at its core, Judaism teaches if you save one person, it's as if you saved the world.
Right.
It teaches the idea of mitzvah, which is good deeds that we do to make the world a better place.
Right.
So most Jews take that very seriously, even Orthodox Jews. But when among the Reform Jews, you find much more liberalism. The Reform congregations are welcoming congregations, and when I say welcoming, that welcome to the LGBT community. We're seeing gay rabbis now,
mm-hmm.
which is something maybe we didn't see 20 years ago. My congregation that I belong to, which I don't speak for the congregation, I want to make that perfectly clear. Opinions I'm expressing are my opinions. But my congregation I belong to, KKB, Kahal Kadash Beth Elohim, we have a female rabbi who's in her mid-30s, very liberal, very wonderful, very giving, and very welcoming. And that's what we really believe that, and we really want to make the world a better place.
Right, which, well, you can't fault that. Now, as far as, like, the Reform seems to be, well, like you say, I mean, very liberal, and while following maybe the idea, like you say, to make the world a better place and things, you have more general guidelines, those strict regulations and things that sometimes we think of with Judaism.
You mean like kosher foods and
kosher,
various things?
Not turning on even the lights.
Oh, yeah. That reform don't practice the not turning on the lights and not driving on the Sabbath. And now, individuals can be Reform and practice those things if they choose to.
Right.
You understand.
But they're not.
But it's not prescribed. It's not like to be a Reform Jew, you have to do this. Now, if you're Orthodox, an Orthodox Jew follows that a lot more closely.
Mm.
But Reform Jews, I mean, there are people in our congregation that are atheists, if you believe that or not. Okay? At least agnostic, if not atheist.
Right.
We've once been described, and I don't necessarily like this description, as the Unitarians of Judaism.
Okay. Well,
And I love Unitarians. Some of my best friends are Unitarians. Doesn't that sound like a...
Yeah, I know. I said something about my an ex of mine who was Jewish, and somebody said, now you're going to say that, you know, and you have a Jewish best friend. And it's like, well, I do, sort of.
If you do, you do, right?
Yeah. I mean,
but
it's that old cliche thing. Yeah, my best friend. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. But, you know, it is... The thing with Reform Judaism is... We're free thinkers, I think, is the best way to describe it. When I say that, I mean there's no prescribed theology in Reform Judaism.
Oh.
I know that sounds a little strange, but right. There's people that believe in reincarnation, which I'm one of those.
I am.
My former rabbi believed very strongly in reincarnation. I'm not sure what my present rabbi, if she believes in reincarnation or not. But the point is we have a lot of varying views. But we hold, and for the most part, we hold the scriptures, the Tanakh, which would be to Christians the Old Testament,
mm-hmm.
In a more symbolic way than a literal way.
Yeah.
Like I was reading, I've been going through some things, personal things in my life, and I was reading the book of Job. Now, the Book of Job is a wonderful book in the Tanakh or the Old Testament, but it's not a literal.
Right, right. Well, then.
But it has a lot of meaning when you read it.
Yeah, but you have to. I mean, I think there's a lot of wisdom in, well, all spiritual paths and religions, but the ones who that come from the Abrahamic background, I think that they're meant to be interpreted. I shouldn't maybe interpreted, but not literally. And I think that that's my religious Jew friend, or my friend who's a religious Jew. He is really waiting for some major Armageddon kind of thing. And I think that he takes it very literally.
Well, a lot of the Orthodox do. He's probably Orthodox, this person.
No, he may be. He says he considers himself a religious Jew.
Well, I'm a religious Jew, but
he's not,
the definition of religious is kind of a...
Well, he's not Orthodox with, like, the, what do you call, the way the hair is and everything.
The Hasidic movement.
Yeah.
Hasidic. Yeah.
He's not Hasidic, but...
Right.
Yeah, he isn't as liberal, like, you know, using guidelines, just, but he's pretty strict. So
yeah.
It makes a difference.
You know, but the thing I always, and this is something that I always had a problem with Christians, Jews, Muslims, whatever.
Mm.
A lot of people who are religious define other people as religious only if they meet their standards.
Yes.
And like the people who attacked the World Trade Center, this is a great example. They called themselves Muslims, okay? And I guess they believed they were Muslims. But I have a lot of Muslim friends that would never do anything like that.
Oh, no, no, no.
You know, so, but they would not, those radicals would not consider them to be on the true path, I guess.
Right, and I don't think it was Muslims anyway, but yes, no, they couldn't, they wouldn't, and yeah, because I do have a lot of Muslim people I'm acquainted with, and they're very, they're not fanatical, and they'll talk about the ones that are really fanatical, just like we have somebody who's supposedly, and they're, yeah, my judgment call, but anyway, Christian, like the Westboro Baptist Church people.
Oh my gosh.
And you know, so we can't judge Christians by people who act
no.
like it.
No, my mother is Roman Catholic. Okay, I came from a mixed family.
Okay.
My mother's Roman Catholic, but I don't judge her by what these priests did molesting children.
Exactly. You know, we were born with a brain and we really need to use it. You know, and not just hit everybody with the same old paintbrush. I did want to ask,
I wanted to share, if I could share just a quick thing from you out of our Reformed prayer book that we used to open our services. This would give you an idea of kind of the theology of Reformed Judaism.
Oh, good. Okay, yeah.
It's very short. May the doors of this synagogue be wide enough to receive all who hunger for love, all who are lonely for friendship. May it welcome all who have tears to unburden, thanks to express, hopes to nurture. May the doors of the synagogue be narrow enough to shut out pettiness and pride, envy and enmity. May its threshold be no stumbling block to young or straying feet. May it be too high to admit complacency, selfishness, and harshness. May this synagogue be for all who enter the doorway to a richer and more meaningful life.
That is absolutely beautiful. It is.
And that is out of the Reformed Prayer Book, Mishkan Tevah, which is the name of the Reformed Siddur, which means prayer book. And that opens, that's one of the opening prayers on Friday night services. It's one of several people, whoever's conducting the service can choose whatever prayer they want, but that's one of our prayers.
That's absolutely beautiful. I'm gonna find that's wonderful. I wanted to, we've only got like 2 minutes or something, but I wanted to mention the fact that you are very big as a socialist, like you started out mentioning you wish that these people would vote socialist. And you have a website called socialistpartysc.org. And I think people should go to that and just see that the activities like the demos at Walmart and different things like that that you've all been involved in. And I wanted to
in our Hanukkah parties, and we have Hanukkah parties.
Yes, Hanukkah party for 2011 and 2012.
Which included both Jews and non-Jews. Matter of fact, there was even a Hindu there.
There you go. See?
Well, a welcoming community.
It should be, yeah. Are a lot of the people that you work with in your congregation in South Carolina, are they socialists? Have you drug them over?
Not really. Not as left-wing as me, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
There's a core group of us here in Somerville, three of us belong to the same synagogue, that are socialists. We have a thing ironically called the Socialist Elitist Club, which is actually an oxymoron. We did it for fun.
I get it. I think that's
So there's about five or six of us that are Jewish and that are Reform that belong to that. So yeah, we have some. But most people in my synagogue are very liberal.
Right, right. So, yeah, you're not always just, like, bucking them. But I want to mention again, this is Patrick, now, Levy.
Levy.
And you can find more about his congregation at www.SomervilleJewishCommunity.com and also www.SocialistPartySC.org, which will give you some of the socialist activities going on down there, and also a brand new Facebook page just went up, right? Like three days ago.
Conservatives are fascists.
Conservatives are fascists. So there's no doubt about Patrick's politics or mine. I mean, it's so, Patrick, I would really like to invite you to come back.
Oh, I'd be happy to.
So, okay, we'll do a longer time and get a lot more information. But I've got to let you go now. But thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, and I enjoyed it thoroughly.
We'll do it soon. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Aram Artefio Radio, your source for the alternative viewpoint to the news around you. In between the amazing shows here, I invite you to check out Rocked Soul Radio, the latest source for alternative music and metaphysical talk on the web. Click over to rockedsoulradio.com or find us on the Live 365 mobile app by searching Rocked Soul.
I'd like to invite you to go to www.worldwidehippies.com and it's a good place to check out what is happening in the world. Now we have a pre-recorded interview with Ken Withrow.
And now we have with us Ken Withrow from Green Farms in Valparaiso, Indiana. Hello, Ken.
Hi, how you doing?
I am great. I'm so glad you came in. You've got a lot to talk about because you have you are like at the cutting edge with your farming using lots of technology. And do you want to just talk a little bit about Green Farms, what this is?
Sure. Basically, it stemmed out of a personal problem. I have five kids, and they cost a lot to feed, and so I was looking into growing food for the family, and be it that, you know, I put 10 years into studying biology and physics, I'm a complete and blithering nerd.
No, I saw that was what, yeah, physics and biology, okay.
Yeah, I'm a freak for engineering, basically, and at the time when I was thinking on this, I walked into running a water treatment plant at a steel mill out here and got really into designing machinery and automating. And the farm idea went from me, you know, I had this 10-acre farm that wasn't really being farmed, and I had wanted to start that up. And then the nerd came out and was like, wait, I could do this more efficiently. And then I just kept looking into it and digging and researching. And next thing you know, it went from me feeding my family to bringing in partners, other engineers, and they took my, like, very baby idea, and they turned it into, when we all, you know, sitting down and brainstorming, it became what we're looking at now, which is a really high-yield, extremely efficient, automated, I guess you call it all-natural farm. Aquaponics, we messed with for a minute. We're going to get back to it because I'm really into the permaculture concept of having a full and complete closed ecosystem. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the most sustainable. And right now, though, just to get through the R&D, we had to cut variables out. So we went straight hydroponic using organic nutrients. We use artificial lighting, artificial atmosphere. We recreate everything that the plant would want to grow, and then give it the optimum of those conditions so that it, you know, we can basically, you know, squeeze a head of lettuce out 2 to 3 times faster you could outside, and then do it consistently all through the year. So, like, right now, I mean, we're right at the end of the prototype phase, I think, and we're ready for the first real building. Our goal is to be able to harvest every day and have deliveries every day. Like, right now, I got deliveries I'm leaving for in 40 minutes, and the guys are in there right now cutting and prepping all the lettuce right now.
Okay, I wanted to ask you, where do you deliver? What kind of places are you selling at?
Valpo University is one of our main clients, and we have local restaurants between Crown Point, Indiana, and Chesterton, Indiana, and then obviously Valparaiso was our, you know, first and foremost, so we've got a whole bunch out there. I could list, I'll throw a few at you. We got like Blackbird Cafe. It's a coffee shop / cafe.
I love
that.
Yeah.
They're amazing. And actually, they were one of our first, like, bulk clients aside of Valpo University. And then we have, we got Octave Grill, Red Cup in Chesterton. Actually, Red Cup, which is really cool, is we're really big into selling it live. So, like, Red Cup keeps it in their front cooler, and they will cut the lettuce in front of you when you ask for, like, a sandwich. You could see the lettuce they just put on your sandwich.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. That was our concept. Oh, go ahead.
Was it hard getting customers at the beginning?
No, actually, we were being asked, like, getting customers was, it was really pretty easy. We were real cautious. We were scared because we didn't want to turn anyone on to what we were doing and then not be able to give them what they were asking for. Yeah. So I got to thank my partner, Eric Diamond. It was really him pushing that we step in, you know, with a little bit of discretion. Don't say, you know, I wanted to just go straight at it and promise the world. And then, oh, the guy we kept up. And, like, he flipped it. He was just like, let's do this right. You know, let's take it in baby steps. And we started very small in a tent with a bunch of zippered clean rooms. And we just did straight microgreens and learned that. And had one restaurant. And we grew for one restaurant. And then we talked to another restaurant and dealt with him for a little while. And at that point, we built our first, like, you know, room and tried to control the environment in there, and that was during the winter, which was really good for us. And then from there, an investor stepped in, and we built what we have now, which you see in the pictures on the website. And that was the one where we like, okay, let's take on an actual list of clientele and learn more about what the bulk lighting will do for your atmosphere, what, you know, the water systems, you know, really get into what we had spent 3 years designing on our computers, you know, getting it, you know, off of paper, let's do that.
Yeah.
And now we're at the point where we know that what we need for the next phase and are actually in the middle of trying to get that going. Hopefully we'll have it by spring. We should have really, like, you know, what we would call everything, you know, our core model operating complete, you know, in a pretty efficient building. But the goal when I'm done, I want to have buildings that are fully climate controlled, underground, green roofed, you know.
Wow.
But yeah. That's like phase, you know, phases
well, now,
down the line.
Well, are those things that you can actually buy, or are you building them yourself?
It's a mix.
I mean, designing and building them for yourself.
Yeah, we designed a bunch of stuff and then went to find the match on the market. And we had a couple flopped ideas. We ultimately found, like what you see in the picture, those troughs are readily available. They are for doing hydroponic farming. They're vinyl. We found them a long time ago. And it was just kind of, our horticulturist was, when we were looking for better solutions to a dilemma we ran into, we switched over to that. The lighting, those are grow lights you could buy. It's where I guess our design comes in, you know, like where you would say, like, we're, you know, we have our competitive part. It's in the operation itself.
Using
those tools. The water treatment system, there's a lot of stuff in there that we had built and designed solely on our own between me and Ian. I would say, like, there's a lot more, like, construction of new ideas. The automation is completely Ian and James who put that together. That's something that is not out there. You know, like that, I guess.
You have a lot of people working with you. Is this volunteers?
No, they're partners. We got six partners. Yeah,
okay.
I have one employee. We have one employee right now. When we build the new facility, we're looking to take on about six full-time employees, possibly.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
We want to create really good jobs. It's going to take a while for us to get to that point where I could, have a quote-unquote lettuce picker or seeder that could buy a real nice home and put his kids through college. That's our goal.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But right now, you know, first we got to make sure this thing succeeds and survives to the point where, you know, everybody's able to keep their bills paid. And then that's when we'll really push to get the employees really moving. I would like to say we could do that within a year or so, but, you know, realistically, it could be 5 years from now. Who knows?
But, no, I mean, it seems like you're off to a great start. How has this changed your own? You said you started out because you had five kids you needed to feed. So how is that working out? I mean, has your diet changed a lot?
It has been, you know, because that was basically we started to, you know, we preach this to people, you know, grow your own food, eat healthy, you know. Don't eat processed food where, you know, you don't know who was handling it and with what. You know, and so we're telling people, you know, you could do this yourself. And we constantly tell people, you could grow this right there in your own kitchen, you know. But I wasn't eating that way. I was preaching it, but I still, you know, I'd go out and buy a Snickers bar. I'd, you know, if I'm on the road, I'd go back to my, you know, college and construction years, and it'd be, you know, a payday, some gummy bears, and a pop. Because, you know, the sugar and caffeine would get me through the day. And then I go home and try and eat a good meal, you know. And being around good food and really understanding what my intentions were, I realized how simple it was for me, too. And then so we started, you know, taking, you know, the stuff that we weren't selling and we'd, you know, throw it into our diets. And it really prompted me to do the farm, personal home farm that I had wanted when I started the idea in the beginning. You know, we're sitting on this plot of land, and it hadn't been touched in 30 years, the sight of just people living on it. So, you know, and it's all black walnut and oak and chestnut. So, like, I mean, the soil was incredible, you know, and everything flourishes without me touching it. You know, I have an apple tree that's just, the green apples, they went through all the way to the end of the season still looking good. And, I mean, well, you know what happened to the apples in the region this year. I mean, most of the orchards had to close up, and I'm still pulling it. I mean, we canned. I have apple butter still from that. Like, we had, it was great, you know, and so I knew the land was really good, so that prompted me to do an herb garden, and we, you know, we grew our cucumbers and tomatoes and just started real small, something we could manage, that my kids and my, you know, my girlfriend could get involved in and do, and this year, you know, if we're going balls to the wall with it. I'm gonna, you know, everything, we just had I should probably mention this. We started the Northwest Indiana Society for Sustainable Living. And
okay,
that's,
now that's what it's called. That's the full. That's the full name.
It would be. If you go on Facebook, it would be NWI Society for Sustainable Living.
Uh-huh.
And what it is a collection of everything that, you know, in the community across roughly 2 to 3 counties. We have several farms involved, beekeepers, acupuncturists, massage therapists, engineers, welders, writers, artists, you know, everything. Like the list is still growing.
Yeah.
And we started that because several people living in the house renting rooms for me, you know, that were here to kind of learn some stuff, and I'm learning from them, but we wanted to feed them too. And now that Green Farms has to sell its food, I can't, you know, now it's like I can't just give that stuff away, you know, so we had to step it up. And so when I decided to go full on with the home farm, it turned into full-on community farm that was designed and run by everyone but me. It's fantastic. Like, I really have very – we had Saturday, we started our heirloom seed library discussion. You know, what are we going to bring in? How are we going to do it? And then the only thing that really they asked me to do was design the building we'll put it in, which is going to be an all-natural thing. I'm going to take a bunch of tires, ram them with dirt, cob the inside, put an earth roof on it, you know, build the door. It'll be basically a really, like, kind of high-tech root cellar, but made out of all natural materials and some garbage, you know.
Yeah.
And
I
love
like
that
garbage
stuff.
Building. Yeah.
Oh, me too. I'm a huge fan. So this is my first chance.
Yeah. This is wonderful. Now, okay, you're saying on Facebook you can be found at NWI, Society for Sustainable Living. And then also you have a blog.
Sarah Hernstrom is the one moderating the blog right now, and what we're doing is all of these experts are writing blogs. My main expertise is water treatment and engineering and architectural, you know, natural architecture, sustainable architecture is probably a better way to put it. And so my blogs will probably lean more down that line, but I've got...
It's Ken Withrow Tales.
What that is some of my I used to be a writer, and I'm want to get back into it. If anyone's interested, there's some short stories I just kept online. So someone's like, "What do you write like?" Well, there you go.
Okay.
I'll give you a big warning. They're very edgy. I hope you're into William Burroughs or Hunter S. Thompson, because there's some it gets edgy.
Okay, it's good.
Yeah, so
keep us on our toes. I'm
well, there's some people that you know, like I'm friends with people from all ends of the spectrum socially. So, like I always put the warning out. I'm very open with who I am, but put the warning out there. You know, if you're inclined to softer material, don't read it, and then we'll probably get along great.
just don't read it right.
I'm very open with my politics, but I try and keep them, you know, only when asked. I'll never preach, but, you know, my stories get a little abrupt. I also have some artwork on there. I used to illustrate book covers, and I'm hopefully, as Green Farms gets to a better level, I want to get back into writing and at a full-time level and illustrating again. Right now, the society, as we do our blogs, we want to start putting together a magazine that people can get, kind of like Mother Earth News, but it would be experts doing, you know, stuff regionally, and we're trying to show how you could do it sustainably and cheap. I really don't want to have a lot of in this, not like, we don't want to survive on ad space if we can.
Yeah.
So it's gonna be more like the societal publication, so that way, it's just like like a National Geographic you want to keep on your shelf that you can go to as a reference. And then ultimately, each blog writer, once we compiled enough on a subject, will publish books, e-books, and Yeah, and that's
yeah.
the kind of the goal of all this.
This is the whole community thing. This is what the word
yes.
means. I love that. But, you know, Ken, we've got to get off now, and I hope that you will come back. Because
oh, I would love it. We can keep talking, yeah.
Exactly. But, well, thank you so much, and hope to see you very soon.
Awesome.
Thank you.
It's good talking to you.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Kalahari is a group, and right now, ladies and gentlemen, our last guest to call in, Janet Smith, is running for alderperson in Belleville, Illinois, and she's been keeping us up on what it's like to be running for our local government. So I'm hoping to get here, but if you don't know, Mercury is retrograde. It went retrograde on Saturday, and it won't be direct till past the middle of March. Mercury's retrograde, it means that communication and transportation can be a little rough on us, and already a few of us have noticed that this time around. So I'm going to we'll play the rest of the song, and if we don't have her in by then, we'll just close the show early and thank Patrick very much for being here, and Ken. Also, want to say when you're for your reading pleasure, also go to www.round37.com. A lot of different bloggers, lots of news, good site. Kathy just posted that wonderful prayer that he's just on air. Well, I'm just going to say goodnight to everybody. We'll be back next Wednesday with a special feature to start out. And then we'll be on Friday this week also. So everybody have a good week. And thank you for coming by.